Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Hey, what's up? I'm former Bills receiver Stevie Johnson, and you're listening to Nate and the Fellas on the Circling the Wagons podcast. It's only one way to roll. Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. Go Bills, baby.
Welcome to the Circling the Wagons podcast, a podcast discussing the Bills all year round with interviews, news, recaps, and insightful fan discussion. Most times, here's your host and lifelong Bills fan, Nate.
Hey, Bills Mafia. Welcome to another episode of Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast. I am your host, Nate. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. I'm with my co-host, Mike. Some of you guys have followed us over from Twitter. Appreciate the heck out of that. We're doing this through Podbean, a different app that we can do live shows on. This way I can add Mike into this, our co-host for the podcast. But if you guys want to share your thoughts while we're talking about this Bills loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars in London, 25-20, feel free to do so. Add your name in and I will try to get to you. First, to give some thoughts, the main storyline out of this loss is going to be the penalties is part of it, but the injuries going into this game, the injuries during this game. I mean, this was just a Murphy's Law of just everything combined that could possibly go wrong for the Buffalo Bills, and they were still in it to the very end. I don't know about you guys, but I didn't feel confident at all during this game. I didn't look at this game thinking like, oh, you know, I know they're only down by a score, but they could definitely win this game. I mean, I told myself that. I told the people around me, like, they're only one score away. But at no point during this entire game against the Jaguars did I feel confident about the Bills pulling off this win. A few things that had to do with the injuries. Of course, Matt Milano went out. Taron Johnson went out at one point. Daquan Jones was out for the entire game after his injury. Huge injuries during the game to those very, very important players. Before the game, Greg Rousseau was out. Christian Benford was out. Tre'Davious White, obviously, out for the season. We don't know the extent as of yet to the injuries to Matt Milano yet. It does not look good. I saw somewhere on Dr. David Chow, the pro football doc, he said hopefully just an MCL injury, but we'll see. I mean, if Matt Milano's injury is for the entire season, obviously that's not a good thing. Not good at all. So we're really hoping for... We're really hoping that the... the injuries were for sure a storyline. Absolutely. They were decimating. The Bills' defense was really the recipient of almost all those injuries. I mean, if you think about it, the Bills lost almost half their starters between before today and during today to injury. But the real storyline is the Bills' offense. The Bills' offense couldn't get anything going throughout the entire game. They couldn't... Up until the very end, they couldn't move the ball. This is supposed to be a top five offense. And I understand that the Jaguars have a very good defense. Don't get me wrong. I know they're not a bad defense. They're a good defense. But I expected more out of Josh Allen, Ken Dorsey, everyone on offense. It just was a rough game for the Buffalo Bills. And if you think about it, this is a team that the Bills could see in the AFC playoffs. Like, this is a team that the Bills could face in a wild card round if they don't get the first seed, right? No, probably not a wild card round because I think the Jaguars are going to win their division, but possibly in a divisional round, right? So a lot of things went into this game. curious about your thoughts. If you guys are interested, I haven't done this on Podbean before, so I believe you can ask to call in, I believe. And yeah. I mean, I'm just curious about your thoughts. Just to get over the, I'm going to talk about the stats of the game real quick. One of the biggest stats for today was time of possession. The Jaguars had 38 minutes of time of possession, whereas the Bills only had almost 22 minutes of time of possession. So almost a 2-to-1 ratio there. The Bills could not sustain drives offensively. Like I mentioned earlier, I don't blame the Bills defense. They were out. They were injured, like I mentioned earlier. But then they were just gassed by the end. They didn't have anyone to rotate in. All their second and third stringers were in, basically. And then, you know, let's talk about, while we're talking about the Jaguars on offense, let's talk about one of the main reasons why the Jaguars had success against the Buffalo Bills today. And one of the major reasons is Kaiir Elam. Kaiir Elam had a rough game today. I went into the season thinking like, oh, Christian Benford, you know, he's going to be the starter opposite Tre'Davious White. He just played better. He looked better. It's not so much that Kaiir Elam is bad as much as it is Christian Benford just outplayed him, right? Christian Benford is just that good, right? And I think what it turns out to be is that I think it was mostly the Kaiir Elam's that bad, because he was easily a step or two behind Calvin Ridley every time it was a 3rd and 8 or 3rd and 9. I mean, Trevor Lawrence just stared down Calvin Ridley and just put it up there. And it wasn't just Kaiir Elam. There was that big, huge 3rd down catch against Micah Hyde at the end of the game. I mean, the Bills defense, the Bills secondary just couldn't cover Calvin Ridley for whatever reason. So that was a huge factor in today's loss, but mostly on the offense. I'm going to give it there. Colby, our guy Colby, is in from our Twitter spaces. He's normally there for a Twitter space. He's joining us in to talk right now. Colby, my guy Colby, are you there?
Can
you hear me? Yep, I can hear you, bud.
Oh, awesome. I don't know what to say to that, you know, loss. It was very close towards the end. Josh Allen kind of made some superhuman plays towards the end. But, you know, kind of my hot take is, you know, what's the deal with the offense waking up towards the end of the game and not the whole game, you know? Like, that's so silly to me. It's like you're going to wake up now and then you're just going to not do anything the first part of the game. Like, it's just kind of, it's pathetic to me. It's just like, come on, man. Like, you got to stay consistent. I get it that Dolphins win was kind of just a game where we kind of threw a lot at the Dolphins. And I guess it didn't come over from, you know, Orchard Park and Buffalo to London, I guess. It seemed like we were kind of defeated at first. Like, as soon as Josh throws the touchdown to Diggs, you know, it was a little bit of life. Josh, in the the fourth quarter that he threw the touchdown to Davis?
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah. Well, he threw two touchdowns to Davis back to back, and then they called one back. And then the next touchdown goes to Davis again. And I'm like, okay, cool. I don't understand why you're going for two and giving it to Shakir. Khalil Shakir, like, that doesn't make sense to me. I get it, he was wide open, but the defenders were right on him as soon as they got the ball. You kind of waited too long, and I just don't understand it, man. Like, it's pathetic at this point. It's just I'm so disappointed in the offense. The defense really just, they were just injured. Like, I can't blame them for, you know, trying to go out there and play. Like, they're freaking injured, man. Like, we got Tre'Davious White out for the season. Matt Milano out for the season, probably. Who knows what Daquan Jones got. Tyron Johnson looks like he's hobbling on one leg. I mean, we better hope we can go find somebody and, like, they'll pick up on a waiver or something. I don't know. Like, that's just, it's frustrating, and like, easily could have won the game too. And I mean, what the hell was Diggs doing? Were you trying to like throw it out? Was he trying to throw it out at the end of the play there?
It looked like he was trying to, Yeah, it was looked like he was trying to lateral the ball to somebody just before he got tackled. So there was a shot that somebody could run in for a touchdown, I think.
That counts as a fumble for my fantasy, by the way. Like, that's so stupid. Like, that's so freaking stupid. I'm sorry, Nate, but I'm just frustrated. Like, if I'm going to give you a hot take, a hot take is, why are we having late offense in games that we're trying, that we're down, and we always have this late push, and it just doesn't make sense. Like, I mean, I think we had this last year with the Vikings game. We had a late push of offense, and then you just fall short with just stupid, boneheaded plays. I mean, as a Bills fan, it's just frustrating.
Yeah. I totally get you, Colby. There's definitely a lot of frustration with us, with the fan base, for sure, man. Thank you. Thank you so much for following us over from Twitter to Podbean, man. Go Bills. Appreciate it.
Yeah, go Bills.
So thank you to Colby for coming on. There's a lot of frustration with it, and you could hear it in his voice. So I appreciate him sharing that with us because, I mean, he feels like a lot of us do. Why is there only a sense of urgency with the Buffalo Bills, with Josh Allen and the offense when it's towards the end of the half, when it's towards the end of the game? It's definitely frustrating for sure. And I'm not sure what the answer to that is. I think some of that's Ken Dorsey. Some of that's Josh Allen. He had an off game. I mean, sure, the defense, the Jaguars defense was good, but I still think the Bills had, there were times when Josh Allen had time to throw the ball, which he didn't. The Bills could not get anything going on the run game. Hold on, let me pull up those stats real quick. the team had 29 rushing yards today between Allen, Harris, Murray. James Cook had negative 4 yards today. James Cook had negative 4 yards. The Bills had 29 passing yards. Josh Allen, for all intents and purposes, like, had a decent passing game. 27 for 40, 359 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. He didn't take any sacks today. Sure, that 1 interception was kind of annoying, but like I said, for all intents and purposes, that was a punt. It was like 3rd and 16, and he threw it in an interception like the 5 or 6 yard line of the Jaguars, right? Like, who cares, right? Yeah, Colby mentioned this game isn't on Allen, by the way. So thanks to Colby for chatting that up. Mike, you're in on the Podbean. Can you unmute yourself, or am I going solo? I can go solo. Don't think I can do it. Good, we're doing it live.
Nate, how are you?
Mike, my guy, my co-host, Mike. How's it going, man?
It's good. Good to be with you.
Yeah. This is a rough one today.
I missed the beginning, obviously. For me, I don't know. Is everybody on death watch? Stuck out to me like that. Obviously terrible. But the Jags, I think, are a decent team and just killed us on third down.
Specifically, I was mentioning, I don't know if you heard that, Mike, but
point, I would say, yeah, like the old, is it Stephen Wright or Jerry Seinfeld, like, was going through my head the whole time, like, if the black box always survives the plane crash, why don't they make the whole plane out of the black box stuff? And it's like, for the Bills, it's like, they, at the end of the game, they can go 90 yards in 40 seconds when they're clicking, and it takes them, they wait until halfway through the fourth quarter to do that, and that is frustrating, I would say. But Trevor Lawrence is, in my mind, a top five quarterback and just killed us on third down. And the Bills just injury after injury after injury, and the refs didn't do us any favors. It's kind of my takeaway. Go ahead.
No. Yeah, the whole black box. Yeah, why don't they just? Yeah, it was it's confusing. You know, that's why they started the K-gun offense back in the day, was because they're like, hey, we're actually doing really well when we do a hurry-up offense at the end of a half or the end of a game. Like, why don't we do this all the time? And then they did. And then they were one of the best passing offenses in the 90s, right? I don't know why the Bills don't do that. I don't know why Ken Dorsey is like, you know, it's like 4 or 5 minutes left. I'm like, come on, guys. Like, you guys are still down by 2 scores. You have to hurry up, right? And yeah, the penalties were definitely a factor for sure. I mean, they kept the Jaguars in. They scored 25 points. I'm sorry, the injuries, not the penalties. I just was more upset with long term. I'm upset with the injuries. Short term for this game, I'm upset with the Bills' offense. I think the Bills' offense could have performed a lot better today. I don't think they did. Here's a good question, because I saw some people post this on social media, Do you think any of this has to do with the fact that the Bills arrived in London so late? Like, they didn't get there till what, Friday or something like that? And they said that they were, McDermott said earlier in the week, he was relying on the sports science people to when they should leave and when they should get there. And they just came out so flat-footed. I mean, injuries aside, which are huge, which may have, I don't necessarily know if they were contributed because of the jet lag or whatever, but I mean, they didn't seem up for it today, you know, just in general. And maybe that has to do with the jet lag. Maybe that had to do with the fact that they came in so late. Maybe it had to do with the fact that the Jaguars had been there for 2 weeks already.
To hear the broadcast, I mean, the broadcast was trying to be upbeat. And, like, it's fun, like, life, new experiences to have an early game. Not my favorite, but once a season, it breaks it up. You have breakfast and start dinner while you're watching it. Like, it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
But the announcers just sucked. Like,
Rich Eisen
just kept harping on was that how after Milano went down, it just deflated the Bills. And I couldn't, just the broadcast, they didn't show a lot from the sidelines and didn't show the replays that I wanted. But to hear them talk, I didn't get a sense of like before and after the Milano injury. But did you? I mean, it seems like Milano's the heartbeat of the defense.
Yeah.
And it just, as a fan, it felt very demoralizing when he goes down and you think he might be lost for the year. So, geez, maybe that played into it too.
Yeah, I mean, I was at a bar in the middle of nowhere, so I didn't hear any of the commentating for the most part. They would be like going to the sidelines to like Jamie Erdahl or whoever, like for an injury update. And I wanted to be like, everyone shut up. Like, guys, I'm trying to hear what they're saying about Matt Milano or anyone else that's injured, any of the five other Bills that have gone down with an injury. So I didn't hear a lot of that. But yeah, I could definitely see that. I mean, first off, Tre'Davious White last week and now Matt Milano being carted off. I mean, it wasn't just like a stinger or he's out for the game with like he tweaked his ankle or he's out for several games. Like, this might be a season ending injury. Yeah, I could definitely see that being part of it. But the only thing I'll say to that is the Bills offense was struggling way before that injury. So maybe defensively, but even defensively, they didn't look terrible. It was just they finally figured out how to target Kaiir Elam and Calvin Ridley. And Calvin Ridley is just a much better wide receiver than Kaiir Elam is a cornerback, and they kept making play after play after play on third downs, it felt like. So part of it is injuries for sure, but this is just a deflated Bills team. It just didn't seem like they were prepared and ready for this. I was thinking, actually going into the game, I didn't know if it would be a good thing for the Jaguars to have stayed there for 2 weeks. Part of me is like, well, don't you think they missed their families or their home or whatever? Like, it's a long time to be away. They're in Piccadilly Circus every night at the M&M store. Like, it's just, yeah. They're at the Eye. Is that the London Eye? Is that what that big Ferris wheel is? Right? So they're 2-0 in London, right? So, yeah, disappointing game, though. Disappointing game. Some other stats of the game. I mentioned Josh Allen had a decent game passing, obviously. Leading wide receiver, Stephon Diggs, 8 receptions on 11 targets for 121 yards. 1 touchdown. Gabe Davis had a good game, 6 receptions on 8 targets for 100 yards and 1 touchdown. Then Deontay Hardy, his coming out game as a Buffalo Bills, 2 receptions, 2 targets for 62 yards. And then some other guys over there. Nothing crazy after that.
The last time he touched the ball, or he should have just let it go into the end zone. And so they're at the 25 instead of the 5.
I know. Why was he trying to do a fair catch? Or wait, you can do it on a punt, right? You can do a fair catch on a punt and you still get the 25. Is that what it is? Or am I thinking kickoffs?
Just, he almost coughed it up and he
felt he did. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, dude, just catch the ball for God's sake. And it's like, oh no, how about I almost fumble it? And how about I take off 3 seconds off the clock? That wouldn't normally happen. Yeah. That's a rough one. On the Jaguars side of the ball, Trevor Lawrence, 25 for 37, 315 yards, 1 touchdown, 0 interceptions. He was sacked 5 times. The Bills defense did apply pressure to Trevor Lawrence for most of the game, which was nice to see. Even with Von Miller getting some snaps, it still wasn't enough. Travis Etienne, 26 carries for 136 yards. Just bashing the Bills, running the ball and passing the ball on defense. Penalties are another big thing. The Bills had 11 penalties for 109 yards. So you're talking about a Jaguars offense that had 474 yards to begin with, and then you give them another 109 yards to go along with it. The penalties were outrageous. Mike, what did you think about the penalties in general? Do you think that they were more or less called on the Buffalo Bills a little unfairly, or do you think that that's just how they were calling the game and the Bills were just so injured, so banged up that they were playing with lesser talent? So there's going to be, when you're playing against better players and you're the defensive guy and you're the third stringer, you're going to have to cause some penalties to stop some big plays.
Man, and a lot of them was tough to evaluate because you didn't even get to see the replay. I certainly slanted in the thought that a lot went against Buffalo. The one that stood out the other way was, I think it was Josh Allen for the Jags, was sacking our Josh Allen. And they, do you remember that one?
Yeah.
Like a roughing pass. I'm like, geez, we got away with one there. Like, nothing really sticks out to me.
Maybe that was a makeup call.
Even the fourth quarter on the touchdown, you know, the pass interference back and forth, you couldn't even see the replays.
No, the replays were terrible. That should go on the wall of shame too. Like all the penalties that were called, it's like, I would love to see a replay. We probably got, like, if there were 12 penalties on the Bills or 10 or 11 or whatever, we probably saw about three of them. I want to say three or four, maybe. Maybe that Josh Allen to Josh Allen roughing the passer play, maybe that was a makeup for the fact that, remember when Josh Allen like slid down, got the first down, he got up and he got pushed down by. Yeah. What was that bullshit? that was on the Bills. Yeah, right. For holding, of course. Let's go into what we normally do for our recaps. I know we're doing this a little bit different. I'm camping in the mountains. I have no reception, so I'm doing this from a car. Luckily, Mike was able to join us, so thanks to Mike for that, for sure. Do you have a Sweet Sassy Molassy play of the game for this one? I know it was a loss, but do you have one? I'm going through my notes. Hold on. Here's one. I got it. Okay. Before the end of the half, the Bills were down 11 to 7. Yeah, the AJ Epenesa. Yep, strip sack, right? Dude, AJ Epenesa, Wall of Fame, right? He had an amazing game. Feels like the beginning of the season, like 2-3 weeks ago, easily. That's the other thing that stinks, is like his Wall of Fame performance is overshadowed by their loss, right? He had an amazing game. He had batted down like 2 or 3 passes. He had 2 sacks. He had at least 1 fumble. He might have had 2 in a game where the Bills really needed some defensive help. So
it feels like that was 1941, and then we kept going 1945. Just so much more happened in that second half. But yeah, Epenesa really showed us something, like, looked incredible until he got gassed and was on the sidelines.
Yeah.
Say, man, the best ability is availability.
Yes. And I think you said it, but I echo that same sentiment. We're both on the same page. Yeah, your best ability is your availability. Glad you're not in. That reminds me of like my 7-year-old soccer game where he's like, it's like a Saturday afternoon. It's pretty warm. It's like 80 degrees. And he goes out for a sub. He's like, oh, I need to go out for a sub. Usually the coach like picks the people that get to get subbed out, right? Oh, you know, 4 people. Oh, you know, Jeff, Lisa, whatever, you know? And my son's like, I need out, coach. He's like, okay. And then like they're doing, you know, subs after like 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever they do. And then my son's like, I need another breather still. I need another round. And I'm like, dude, get your butt out there. Except it's AJ Epenesa, and we really needed him to be out there too.
To him, like soccer, you are running.
That's true. That's, yeah, exactly.
First ball, that is 4 to 5 first.
My 7-year-old gets more leniency than the 27-year-old football player. That's fair. That's fair. But yeah, that was that's tough. Like Stephon Diggs, huge play, has to go out right away. Like, come on, man. Like, we need you. I saw an interesting tweet on Twitter about needing to get rid of turf and everything being you know, converted to grass fields because of all the injuries the Bills were, you know, going through today. And, you know, I don't believe they have grass fields, at least in London. I think it's turf at Tottenham, Spurs, or whatever. And maybe there's a good, I mean, this is the second week in a row we've lost a major player to an injury. I don't know if this was non-contact. I did not watch the replay of it. I'm kind of tired of watching gruesome injury replays, to be honest. Like, they just don't do much for me. I mean, you know, like, there's just, it's just like watching injury porn. It's just like watching, like, Hostel, right? Like, it's a good movie. I get it. But there's a some point, like, yeah, torture porn. Like, it's just like, I don't, it's just, at some point, it's just for shock value, right? Like, I don't need to see that, you know? Matt Milano's human centipede moment. I don't need to see it. I imagine it was awful. He got carted off. Who was it? Which player was it that had their like leg twisted around? Like Nick Chubb, right? Like, I don't need to see that crap. Like, that's the first thing trending on Twitter. Like, oh, Nick Chubb. And it's like the first video. Like, oh man. Oh my God. Like, this is, got to push that down. Push that deep down. Try to get over that. You know, all those other terrible things I've seen on the internet for the last 20 years. Okay, all right. Totally outweighing all the good, like, dog videos, all the good moment, the heartwarming, like, soldier returning from, you know, Iraq or whatever, his dog sees him for the first time. You're like, those pale in comparison to all the gruesome, terrible shit that you've seen on the internet. So,
where did you watch it? At a sports bar?
Yeah, there's a sports bar here. It's in, what is it, Salamanca, New York. So, just found it on Facebook. Yeah, it was cool. I mean, you know, they had the Let's Go Buffalo chant and all that stuff. Like, that was really cool. But it was packed in there. I mean, it's rainy too, so like nobody was outside. So it was all packed indoors. It was a cool experience. I haven't been to a bar to watch a game in a minute. So,
NFL Network is like how they...
Oh, good question. I have no idea. I just figured it was CBS. How did you watch it? Was it NFL Network?
You were trying to watch Cinemax and your parents went...
It was squiggly lines.
So, like, googling it, tried to watch like you, because in Rochester it's not like the Buffalo area.
Oh yeah,
so tried Fubo, and I guess I've exhausted Fubo.
Your Fubo is Fubar.
Tried China 123.
You used all known emails for me. Like, you exhausted all. Oh, nice.
But it won't just, like, work on, like, using a computer to HDMI in. Just download the app.
And watch on your phone. Yeah. Now, that does suck about the NFL Plus is that you can't stream that or mirror that to, like, a TV or anything else but, you know, your phone.
But if you're trying to be, get as many people to watch this as possible, you just got to make it easier. The trouble I had, I can't imagine... older relatives or something, you know.
This is the equivalent of, remember the blackout rules when we were younger? Like, if the game wasn't sold out, you're like, oh, I guess I can't watch it, right? Like, and now it's like there's no blackout rules anymore, but like there's so many games on primetime because the Bills are good that if you don't have cable, like you're kind of screwed from watching them. Like, that's the equivalent. Like, you know, it's like the Lethal Weapon. They screw you at the, you know, the primetime games. Yeah. Yeah. Wall of shame on this one is going to be injuries, I think, for both of us. I imagine you're going to say the same thing. It's just a crappy day. I mean, Major Matt Milano could be lost for the season. Daquan Jones could be lost for the season. I heard somewhere from someone on X/Twitter that he tore his pec. So that's obviously a huge loss. Taron Johnson, like you said, was hobbling on one leg. So he was done. I didn't see Dorian Williams at all. I don't know if he was injured or if they just replaced him with Tyrell Dotson. They're just like, you're not doing enough. But yeah, I think Kingsley Jonathan was injured at one point. It's just like everyone was going down at one point. It was like, it reminded me of the Dolphins game last year. Remember that? Where it's like, there wasn't the heat, but like everyone was going down to injury and the Bills were like doing everything they could to give the game to the Dolphins. It felt like that today, didn't it?
Yeah.
good analogy. Good analogy, Nate. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. That was awesome. Would you rather it be like 1941 to 1945? you prefer the U.S. world history war analogies. That was, yeah. So we're camping out in Allegheny, and just in this general area, like we're camping with other friends. So like, my wife's friends from high school, they were like, hey, you know, they were watching the game with us, and I felt bad because like one of her friends has like a friend's friends has like a 10-year-old son, right? And he's watching the game. He's really interested, which is really cool. It's really cool to see. So he got really upset when he knew that the Bills were going to lose, right? Like head in his hands, like almost crying. Like it was sad to see. And I felt really bad because we've all been there at one point as Bills fans. Now there comes a point where you're just so used to the disappointment where you're kind of calloused by it. So I still felt bad though. But to me, I was just like, well, because my son went through that last year when the Bills lost the playoffs. He's like upset. He's like, the Bills lose, you know? And I felt bad. I'm like, hey buddy, it'll be okay. But at the same time, I'm just like, man, you're going to see a lot of this. Like there's just a lot of losing in any sports team. Like, you know, the highs are high, but the lows are really low. This is just one of those games where it's just like, did you feel confident at any point in this game where like the Bills were down? They were down like 7-11 for a long time, probably a quarter at least. And there was at no point where I'm just like, they can win this one. They're going to win this one. I was like, they're still mathematically potentially can win mathematically, but I don't feel confident in this game whatsoever.
Yeah, I thought they were going to win after they scored the first touchdown.
Did you really? Oh, I did not have that confidence that you have. Man, that sounds amazing. Here I am.
Amazing as one might think, because one attempted to hop onto
a betting site?
A betting app.
I love the Bills at -5.5 before the game. I love them at, you know, +10.5 or whatever. They're going to be fine.
Bet $10 and make $800.
I'm losing money by not taking this bet. This is such a sure bet. Yeah. So, I mean, what stinks about this game in general, like it's one thing to lose, like it's a disappointing loss no matter what. Wall of shame for this game was just, you know, the offense and losing, but wall of shame just like long-term effects was just all the injuries and the things that leak into the rest of the season that, you know, don't get rectified after this week. Like, let's say it was an offensive adjustment they needed to make and there was a discrepancy between the game plan and Josh Allen or Ken Dorsey or whatever offensively. Fine. You know what? The Jaguars have a good defense. We'll pick it up next week. We'll figure it out. You know, the Bills will come back stronger. You know, it's only one loss. But I think it's just the injuries that are just demoralizing as a fan, because of how their long-term effects could be and how good this team was doing, right? Like we thought last year, the Bills faced a lot of adversity and they did within the community with, you know, everything going on in the community, you know, Kim Pegula, Dawson Knox's little brother, like so many things, right? Like all the injuries, all the terrible injuries to the players on the Buffalo Bills, it just came to a head. And it feels like they've already reached all those... Maybe not community-wise, but like within the building, they've already reached all the injuries and all the adversity that they faced last season. You know what I mean? Okay. All right. Yeah. Disappointing. Would you like to hear some hot takes on this Buffalo Bills game from Twitter? Mike loves hot takes. That's one of his favorite things. Okay. Here we go. This is from Sacks to Dave. Not sure they're hot takes. Elam struggled. Injuries killed us and are a huge concern. Jet lag is obviously a thing. And what's with the refs? That said, the offense lost the game. Then Big R says, don't blame the refs. The Bills played sluggish and sloppy. And I bet if they flew earlier, it would have helped with some of that. Can't disagree with that. Thomas Durlach writes, Elam is terrible. Defense has taken a huge hit. Milano and White both gone. Definite advantage playing back-to-back weeks in London. Time for Bean to work the phones. Brush this off and move on. You know what's funny is I've seen a lot of people clamoring on social media for Bean to pick up the phone and try to trade for a cornerback. It's like, I don't know what you're going to get this early, because there's a lot of teams that think that they're still in it and they're not willing to part with good players. Plus, the Bills don't have a lot of cap, so it's not like they can just take anyone for whatever price. Plus, we don't know how long Benford's going to be out for. Colby Pleasance writes, this game isn't on Allen. It's really not. Yep, I agree with that. Mike Graham says, coaching and management set this team up for failure. Research showed they should have flew in 2 days before the game. I think there was a Jaguar staff member on McDermott's quote unquote research team. Mike, you've been to London. Hello? You've been to London, right? No, there's a right question mark. How long would you say, I've been to London too. I've been fortunate enough to go there once. How long would you say you got over the jet lag? Was it immediately or did it take a couple of days?
You and I are not professional athletes.
Oh, I thought that was just a statement. I wasn't going to respond to that. No.
We can do no athletic activity for a year, and then the night before Thanksgiving, eat a garbage plate and go run around in the next morning, right? Like, Jeff, like if you can get off the play in front of how many people fit in that stadium?
Who knows? 60, 70,000, right? Maybe?
Yeah.
50, yeah, whatever.
Come on. Do you really think that's that big a deal? Seriously, like if you have to get up for something, can't you get up for it?
Well, you have two conflicting arguments then, because on the Jaguars science staff or research staff or whatever, they think staying there the entire time was better. Whereas the Bills staff was just like, nah, you're fine. You can do it. 2 days. That's all you need. I don't necessarily
fly in and play football.
Yeah, that day, right?
Come on. Yeah.
Just wake up, right? Like, I know your body's off. If you were to play it like, so what's the difference? It's like 6 or 7 hours difference. Are they ahead or behind? They're behind. No, they're ahead. They're ahead. So like this would be normally, if you're not used to the time, 12:30 game there is like 6 or 7:30 p.m. game, right? That's not crazy. It's not like it's a 2 in the morning game, you know? Like, I can understand that. That would throw you off. Like, this is like a primetime game for people from the East Coast. Yeah, it's some BS. But I will say, when I went to London, it took me a couple of days to get used to the time difference. The first day, I was like, ugh, like, this sucks. Like, you get there, like, I don't know, it might be like 9 at night. And then, like, in your time, like, you're basically getting up at 2 in the morning, which is like 9 in the morning there, right? So it's rough the first couple of days, and then you get used to it. So they thought, yeah, it only takes 2 days. But Josh Allen was complaining at the press conference. He's like, I just need a lot of caffeine. Like, this is rough. All right. More hot takes from Bills Mafia. Andrew Freeman writes, I think there had to be some interest in the Jags winning this game. The NFL wants, do you want to hear some conspiracy theories, Mike? Are you ready for one? Who doesn't love a good conspiracy theory?
Sure.
I think Andrew Freeman writes, I think there had to be some interest in the Jags winning this game. The NFL wants a team in London, and they're the natural option. Every break seemed to go their way in regards to the travel and penalties, or lack thereof. We got robbed of a home game, plain and simple. Yeah, I mean, we definitely got robbed from a home game, but luckily this was like our 9th home game. So it wasn't like we only got 8 home games this year and one of them was in London. I mean, this was, you know, our 9th. So I love a conspiracy theory as much as the next person, probably more than the next person, if we're being honest. But I don't think this is because the NFL wants a team in London. I think it was just a poorly officiated game. But like you said, the Jaguars are a good team and they took advantage of it. Like, anything that the Jaguars did, you can't take away from them. Like the all the catches to Ridley on third down, all the ETN just gashing the Buffalo Bills, like all these penalties on the Buffalo Bills. Like, sure, maybe that Poyer one was pretty bad, but I could see why they called it. I wasn't like, this definitely has to be called, but I could see why they did. I still think that's one of those penalties where you have to do a replay on it or something, because he hit him with his shoulder, but it's a bang bang play. It's like Poyer can't, the guy was trying to duck contact and he ended up getting hit, but it's like, how is Poyer supposed to know that in the moment? He's trying to separate the player from the ball. I don't know. I feel like that one needs to be replayed. AJ Tharp writes, the refs took this from a tackle football game to a flag football game. My hot take, there will be no accountability for it. There's never any accountability. That is a hot take, but there's never any accountability, AJ, by the NFL for the way that they officiate games. That's, I don't know if there's ever been. Dude, we've seen refs in all black that we didn't even know existed. They were like the Men in Black for refs, right? Like that Bills Texans playoff game a few years ago. Like all of a sudden, like the Bills got the ball. It was a safety, and you know, because the guy didn't give like the clear like touchback signal when he caught the ball in the end zone on a kickoff, and the Bills recovered the ball, and it was supposed to be a safety, and the Bills were going to get the ball right back and take the lead, and then all of a sudden, this ref in all black out of nowhere was like, nope, that's not how it goes. He just all of a sudden overrode all the officiating crew on the field. It's like, where did this guy come from? Who is this guy? So, no accountability continued. Bill's super fan Don Burt writes, didn't feel like they traveled so late in the week. Didn't like that they traveled so late in the week. Feel like they should have left immediately after the Miami game. It is what it is. Not going to jump off the ledge here. Very concerned with the injuries. Not going to listen to speculation until we find out exactly what happened. Yeah, it's hard not to speculate, but it doesn't look good. Doesn't look positive. Save and Close writes, we're a front-running offense. Dorsey got all the applause the last 3 weeks, piling on points. He can't call plays from behind or the offense can't execute, or both. I like that one a lot. Dorsey calling plays from behind is not nearly as good. Big Mike just messaged me, and he just said on Twitter, bro, Elam isn't even good enough for a trade bait at this point. Well, the Bills don't have enough cornerbacks. They couldn't even trade him if they wanted to. This kind of goes into Biff Cheddarhead. I like anyone with a Twitter handle that has Biff in it. Biff Cheddarhead writes, cut Elam, trade whatever draft picks you need for a decent corner. He also writes, international games are a safety hazard to the players, and the NFLPA need to negotiate them out of the next bargaining agreement. Well, I don't know if that's going to happen, because the NFL likes to make more money. So if they can make more international money, if they suck all the money out of the U.S., they need to find other places to suck the money out of. X Corruption X writes, yeah, the at NFL officiating can kiss my ass. I love, by the way, I'm glad he tagged the official NFL officiating Twitter account in that tweet, because I see a lot of people do that. And I'm always like, if that actually did something, we would all do it all the time. I don't think they care, but keep doing it. Greg Casper writes, never want to see another game in London ever. At least half the D was missing. 500 yards for Jacksonville. Time of possession was gross. Defense is in a world of trouble if they aren't starting backups to backups. Yeah, which is what they're doing right now. Nick Withers writes, they always struggle against the Jags. Injuries are what worries me more than the loss, for sure. Going 3-2 sucks, but going 3-2 with a lot of long-term implications suck. Carl SG hashtag go Bills writes, no Milano and no Trey will be really complicated. Yeah. G-Man Bills from SC writes, having one team already in Europe from the week before is an incredibly unfair disadvantage to the other team. Refs were awful, but this game is not on them. I don't know if we can really game. I get what people are saying, and maybe that's why it's a hot take. I don't really blame the time change as much as, like, that was either on the Bills science staff or the Bills should have been able to overcome that. So yeah, lots and lots of things. Hot takes. Here's one from David Callahan. All phases do not execute. Offense, no rhythm. Defense, too much time on the field. Too many penalties. Refs did throw a few that weren't necessary. Finally, injuries, primarily Milano. Jacob Drum writes, got to use the run more, got to look midfield more, got to stop hoping your deep route will be open by the time the ball gets there, got to make Jacksonville the home team when they play in London after a week there, got to push the metro out a few miles to Amherst, and we're good. Cool. Mike, I think we're going to end on that note. Is there anything else that you want to add about this Bills loss? Either long-term, short-term, or anything else.
I think, Nate, like, somebody made a good point. Like, the Jags have always played the Bills tough in the last couple of years, and it seems like they get better every year. Trevor Lawrence, I think, is really, really good. I'm happy to get this game behind us, and I think looking forward, the next couple of weeks, they can really right the ship, right? 3-2 now, next we've got the Giants, then the Pats, the Bucks, the Bengals, the Broncos, the Jets, and like then it gets a lot tougher with the Eagles and the Chiefs. But I think couldn't the Bills win all of those games before the Eagles, right? And then they'd be 9-2. Right?
Absolutely, those are all winnable games. Yeah,
I mean they should be the favorite for all for every game.
I think that would be that's the positive way to look at it for sure. I'm glad you brought all this up. I think if it wasn't for the injuries, and we don't know the extent of how bad they are, if it wasn't for the injuries, I think we would be like, that stinks. It's a terrible game. Like you said, the Jaguars are a good team. I mean, they made the playoffs. I think they won a game last year in the playoffs. So like, and they almost beat the Patrick Mahomes-less Chiefs, right? Like, so they're not a bad team. They're a pretty good team. But yeah, exactly. The Giants will be their get right game. That's what they need. It'll be the game that they needed to get over it and maybe get some people healthy for a few weeks or something. I don't know. Yeah. Good point. Those are all winnable games. Everything you mentioned, like I don't fear any of those teams that you mentioned until you get to the Eagles or the Chiefs. And even then, like they're not unbeatable. They're just going to be tough to beat. They get Benford back, and all of a sudden you're talking about a different defense, right? Like it's going to be better. It's going to be good, right? Like I like you ending it on that positive note. That's what I want. That's definitely what I want. Appreciate that, Mike. So those are good ending thoughts. Is there anything else that you wanted to add before we end this one? No, cool. Thank you guys all for listening. This episode is brought to you by the TwinSpire Sportsbook at DeLago. If you're in the Western New York or Central New York area, check out the DeLago Resort and Casino. All segments of this episode, whether it was stats of the game, was brought to you by the TwinSpire Sportsbook at DeLago. Whether it was Sweet Sassy Malassi plays of the game, of course, there weren't a ton, but those were brought to you by the TwinSpire Sportsbook at DeLago, and also the Wall of Fame and Wall of Shame, brought to you by the TwinSpire Sportsbook at DeLago. So, signing off for Mike.
Go Bills. See you next week.
And for me, Nate, go Bills too. We'll see you next week. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you guys again soon. Let's hear you scream.
you for listening to the Circling the Wagons podcast. Download and subscribe to us in your favorite podcast service. Email us at ctwpod@gmail.com. That's Charlie Tango Whiskey Pod at gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at ctwpod. And most importantly, go Bills!
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills, Nate.
Well, listen, the whole show is called Circling the Wagons. Say no more. I love it.